Our second reading comes to us from the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter, the 12th verse, as we continue to make our way through the Ten Commandments. So I invite you once again to listen for a word from God. Then God spoke all these words, "Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." This too is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me, please? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Some time ago, I had the honor of leading a graveside funeral service for a man who had served our country in the United States Navy, who was to receive military honors at his burial. This senior officer of the Navy Honor Guard held the rank of captain. And as I watched him lead his sailors, he seemed to me to possess what the military refers to as a command bearing. Judging by his weathered face and the close-cropped silver hair under his cap, I guessed he was at least 20 years my senior. The honor guard finished their presentation, saluted the flag, and then prepared to march away. And just as they brushed past me, the captain and I made eye contact. And then something happened I will never forget. This high-ranking officer in the United States Navy, this man who was at least 20 years my senior, who by all outward appearances outranked me in every conceivable way, whispered to me, "Thank you, Father." And I just smiled. And it was all I could do to refrain from saying, "You're welcome, my son." This summer, we're making our way through this series of sermons we've entitled Words to Live By as we study the Ten Commandments. And today we come to the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. As we've been making our way through these Ten Commandments, we've been learning a memory device using our 10 fingers. And I have good news. By the time we're done today, we'll be halfway through. So let's review, shall we? Index finger in the air. Notice that it looks both like the number 1 and the letter I. That's a reminder that the Ten Commandments are rooted in relationship. They do not begin with thou shalt or thou shalt not. They begin with the word I, as in, "I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me." And then take the pinky finger out and notice it looks like calf horns. It's a reminder to us of the story that before Moses was even down from the mountain collecting these laws from God, the Israelites had already turned aside to worship the altar of a golden calf that they had made with their own hands. So the second commandment is, "You shall not make for yourself any idol or bow down to them or worship them." And then 3 fingers. Notice that that looks like the letter W, which is the first letter in the word wrongful. And so touch that W to your lips. And remember, the third commandment is, "You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God." And then last week we covered the fourth commandment. So take your thumb and rest it on your palm and then tap your temple like you're trying to remember something and you're remembering so hard you fall asleep, right? Fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. But today marks an important milestone in our conversation about these 10 words, about these 10 commandments. You may have noticed that the first 4 of these commandments are about how we are to live in right relationship with God. But for today and for the remainder of the series, the conversation now shifts to how we are to live out our relationships with one another. As we've been saying all along, the 10 commandments are not first and foremost about rules. They're really about relationship. They're about the ways in which we are interconnected both to God and to one another. And so the very first point of human connection that any of us ever experienced, that every human being on the planet ever has, is with a mother and a father. And so that brings us then to today, the fifth commandment. So here's your memory device. Imagine that you're a very small child, maybe a toddler, and you're trying to reach way up and give a high five to your mom and dad, right? So that's it. The fifth commandment, right, is honor your father and mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. But I wonder, what's really at stake here? Is this just about remembering to call your mother, right? Is this really just about remembering to get dad a snazzy new necktie for Father's Day? Is this more than a matter of good manners? Why would God go to the trouble to literally write this in stone? And then, of course, it brings up all sorts of trouble with human relationships. What about those who've never known a mother or a father? What about those who had to endure mothers and fathers who were, to put it gently, are less than honorable people? Well, the Ten Commandments did not just fall out of the sky. They are rooted in the larger biblical story of the liberation and redemption of God's covenant people, whom we've referred to collectively as the Israelites. And we, through Jesus of Nazareth, whom we call the Christ, we trace our faith heritage to them. So the foundational story of the Hebrew Scriptures, the foundational story of the Old Testament, is the story of Exodus. The story is that our ancestors in faith, our mothers and fathers in faith, were forced to leave their homeland because of a worldwide famine, because of economic insecurity. And so to have a fighting chance at a better life, to secure a better future for their children, they emigrated. They emigrated to the land of Egypt. And at first in Egypt, they were welcomed as neighbors and friends, and they became an important contributor to the Egyptian economy. But as the biblical book of Exodus opens, it tells us that a new king called a Pharaoh came to power. And at his very core, we learn early on that this king, this Pharaoh, at the center of his being is an insecure, fearful man. And so he looks at our ancestors and sees them not as neighbors and friends, but as a threat. And a brief survey of world history shows us that from the time of Pharaoh all the way up to present day, when fearful, insecure people attain positions of great power, oftentimes very dark things follow. And so Pharaoh incited the Egyptians to enslave our ancestors. As Exodus tells us, and this is a direct pull from the text, the Egyptians became ruthless in imposing tasks on the Israelites and made their lives bitter. So Exodus tells us that God heard the cries of our ancestors for deliverance, and God liberated them. The story of Exodus then is a story of the liberation and redemption of God's covenant people. That's the foundational story of the Old Testament. So here's what that means for you, my brother. Because you trace your faith to the Israelites through Jesus Christ, this isn't just a neat story about a people who lived long, long ago in a galaxy far, far away. My sister, this is the story of your ancestors in faith, your mothers and fathers. This is your family story. And so the Ten Commandments are not then just a set of rules to be followed or else. Getting your ancestors out of Egypt, that was the easy part for God. Parting the Red Sea, bringing the people through on dry land, providing for their every physical need, that was no problem for God. Getting Egypt out of the hearts of God's people, well, that's still a project God's working on to present day. So these commandments, then, are the framework around which God is transforming you. They are the means by which God is building you into God's holy person, God's royal priest, God's covenant chosen child. So honoring your father and mother is about so much more than good manners. It's about so much more than accidents of DNA and biology. Here's what that looks like. You may have noticed just outside those doors, there hang 8 marble plaques that memorialize the 8 pastors of this congregation, 8 senior pastors who have died and joined the church triumphant. On the day of when I was installed as pastor here, I was giving one of my seminary classmates a tour of the church, and we were standing there looking at all those plaques, and I said to him, "I wonder what you got to do to get your name up here." And without missing a beat, he looked me dead in the face and he said, "Die." But as I pass by those plaques, I think often about our mothers and fathers in this place. I think often about the saints who came before us in this place, and I wonder, what must it have been like to try to follow Jesus during a devastating civil war? What must it have been like to try to follow Jesus during 2 world wars with a Great Depression in between? What must it have been like trying to follow Jesus during the days of integration and the struggle for civil rights? I think about that. And the truth is, our mothers and fathers, they're our ancestors in the faith. We are direct beneficiaries of faithful stewardship of so many gifts. And the truth at the same time also is this: they didn't always get it right. The very wood upon which you are sitting right now at this very moment was in all likelihood hand-cut by slave labor. The truth is that on some of the most important questions of their day, our mothers and fathers got it wrong. Honoring mother and father does not mean that we don't look at our history critically. The Bible pulls no punches about the failings of many of our ancestors in the faith. See, for example, David, King. Think about the first temple that Solomon built, also constructed with slave labor. The truth is that our mothers and fathers are chosen covenant people of God, and at the same time, they are also flawed, sinful human beings. And here's the really bad news: that's a genetic condition, which means that you and I are flawed, sinful human beings. And the truth is, many years from now, our descendants may say the very same thing about us. They may say, "Wow, they thought they had it right, and they were dead wrong." Honoring our fathers and mothers is not about whitewashing history or denying the truth. It's about coming to an understanding that you and I are the present day living beneficiaries of this amazing legacy of faith, of the faithful stewardship of countless saints who have gone before us, who have now finished their race, and now they hand the torch on to us. So it's not just about saying yes, ma'am, and no, sir, which you should do, right, boys? Right? It's not just about good manners. It's about remembering who you are and who your people are. It's about doing everything you can to learn your family story, warts and all, and knowing your place within it, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Long days. For 400 years, our ancestors lived in the land of Egypt. For 400 years, our ancestors saw how things were done in Pharaoh's kingdom. In Pharaoh's kingdom, there was no such thing as Sabbath.
In Pharaoh's kingdom, violence and fear were the orders of the day. Those were the means by which Pharaoh got things done. In Pharaoh's kingdom, people were, our ancestors were valued so long as they provided some sort of economic benefit to Pharaoh's economy, namely through hard physical labor. And I shudder to think about what happened to our mothers and fathers when they got old, when they were no longer able to do the hard physical work Pharaoh required of them. And so part of this commandment is God saying, my kingdom operates with a different set of values. In God's kingdom, people are valued not because of what they can do, but because they're mine. I am the Lord your God. You are mine. People are valued in the kingdom of God because they belong to God, full stop. So in God's kingdom, every human life has inherent dignity and worth. And because of that kingdom value, God is particularly concerned with those who are most vulnerable. In the days of our ancestors, there was no such thing as the Social Security Administration or the Board of Pensions of the Presbyterian Church USA, or an individual retirement arrangement. So the commandment to honor our father and mother is also a commandment to do economic justice. It's a commandment to ensure that those who can no longer work because of age or infirmity are nonetheless cared for, that they receive their daily bread. Because when we care for the most vulnerable, when we take that seriously, then we start to look a little something like the holy nation that God has envisioned for us. When we decide that we're going to value people simply because they are, rather than because what they can do for us, then we start to look like something like the royal priesthood that God has set aside for the blessing of the earth. When we honor our fathers and mothers as the Lord God has commanded us, it goes well with us. So may we remember who and whose we are. May we remember who our people are. And may we honor them. May we remember that we belong to this holy nation, to this royal priesthood, that we are God's own people, so that we might too proclaim, just as our mothers and fathers did before us, the mighty acts of Christ, who calls us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Thanks be to God. Amen.